right, we're going to ask the team members now, the guys wearing the green shirts that are sitting around, if they'd come up right now and just line up behind me. And we need to do this quickly because we've run over each service. So I don't know what else, how else to prompt you guys, but to come up now. And Pashley. And this group is a fraction of the team. First service had one group, second service the other, and now this final group. As you can tell, it's been a good-sized team. And we just want to share with you, encourage you about what God has done and what He's doing. If you're visiting us for the first time, we first of all welcome you here. This is definitely a break from our normal routine. Next Sunday morning, we'll dive into the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. But for now, we're right on the heels of getting home on your church planting mission into northern Russia. And God blessed wonderfully and radically. And before we go any further, I want you guys to know that this was our third trip. And I've never been with a group of people who have been so obedient to the Word of God in very trying circumstances. This group experienced the most spiritual attack that I've seen in the previous teams. Also, I was impressed with the witness that these people laid down from one end of the earth to the other. The hotel that we stayed in, the night before we were leaving, all the cooks got me down at midnight down in the kitchen. They presented to me a teapot that they wanted me to have. And they had told me that they had never been involved with a group of people that brought so much warmth into their lives. These guys were, as we nicknamed, as a pilot, a captain on Delta Airlines nicknamed us the Mean Green Ministry Machine. We got on the plane, and the captain of Delta just said, hey, he announced it on the intercom, we got Calvary Chapel on board, you know, and he was all pumped and excited. And I had to talk to him about why. Well, his church is involved in planting churches in Africa, and he was so excited for us. And when we were coming back, we made an emergency landing in Iceland. A woman, a couple seats behind me, decided to kill herself, I guess, on the plane. We don't know what her intentions were, leaving in the seat next to her a little 5-year-old daughter. And Dr. Bob was with us, who shared last service. He looked at her, and Bob and I began to move her to first class. She began to lose all of her faculties. We couldn't wake her up. She lost bodily control, and it was evident. And she was going downhill bad. And they put that plane down in Iceland, dumping tons of fuel, metric tons, off the wings of that plane to get it onto the runway there in Iceland. And we landed, and God began to work. And these people are standing in aisles praying for this woman. The captain of the big jumbo jet gives Bob the phone, and he's able to call home. Within an hour, the prayer chain ministry here is lifting up a woman, we didn't know her name, interceding in prayer. Bob had told me at that moment, you know, according to Iceland law, they've announced to, you know, the crew that if this woman dies, this plane and all of us on board will be quarantined for at least 10 hours here at the airport. And so we said, oh God, don't let her die. And within 2 hours, we're up in the air taking her daughter with us to L.A. And she stayed behind in the Naval Hospital there in Iceland. And she began to come around. We don't know the reasons why, how. But this woman had a lot of prayer going up. Many of you were praying. And these people, I tell you, it's our third time. It's my third time over with a group. And I've never gone with a team more committed to ministry and to keeping the right attitude. And I'm honored to be with these guys. And so we're going to share from one end. Oh, my goodness, this is a big group. We have got to keep it like maybe max 2 minutes per person. So I'll tap you on the back if you're going too long. So anyway, why don't we start right here with Mark?
Hello. Good morning. My daughter gave me a special design on my sweatshirt this morning, so this right here. like Jack said, you know, this was really a blessing to be a part of this group. I made some really good friends, and I've seen God work in a big way. You know, I really thank God that I was able to do this, to go to St. Petersburg and to share the gospel, you know, to really use my Christianity, not just to go to church and every Sunday and Wednesday, but to really to put some traction on what I believe, you know, and go out and share the love of Christ. I'm going to just give you a few things that I wrote down here about my experience and the people who I've met and the things that I was able to do and the things I was able to see. It was the most adventurous time of my life. Out of everything that I've ever done in my life, this was it, and I want to do it again. I met a Catholic priest on the way there from Frankfurt to Warsaw, and I got to share with this guy, which was kind of like a kickoff to what was waiting for me ahead. It was really neat. For an hour and a half, this guy was captive audience to to hearing the gospel, and he believed, but he was in that religious mode to where he believed the laws and the traditions and all this stuff is what got you into heaven. And after he got off the plane, he just really knew that he needed the love of Jesus Christ in a relationship rather than religion. I got to meet an ex-mafia guy who was a Christian there. His name was Daniel, and he was a translator, and he'd been a Christian for about 5 months. His testimony was awesome. A friend of his got killed, and he left his town, went to St. Petersburg, got off at the first trip, met a Christian, got saved, and now he was like sharing the Lord with everybody, which was really neat. He was became a good friend of mine, it was really neat. I got to meet a wartime vet of the 900-day war over there when the Germans surrounded St. Petersburg. I met a 16-year-old college graduate who graduated the highest level of education there, who came to know the Lord. The last night there, I asked him if he had any more questions, and he told me, he goes, you know, I know all my answers are in God's Word. So it's really neat. He got saved, and he knows that all his answers are in God's Word. We're actually in a communist country, an ex-communist country, preaching the gospel. We're at the officers' club at Saratolovo, and you see the stage, and on the left hand of the stage is Karl Marx, and on the right hand is Lenin. And I'm like, here we are, you know, sharing Jesus Christ in this place where Christianity was outlawed. Stalin killed 60 million Christians in his reign, and here we are, you know, spreading the love of God to all these people. And what God allowed me to do is to plant the seed of the gospel to many, many Russians. You know, not all of them came to know the Lord, but just seeing their faces melt, you know, at the gospel was enough for me, and knowing that God planted the seed. Like a lot of us, I got to preach at this place that used to be called the Hall of Atheism, which is really neat. I got a picture, and it's just awesome. You know, I'm like, oh, wow. And God is blessed. I've seen what God has done over there. I found out the gospel is just not an American gospel. It's international. God loves all people. I realize the God that we serve is a big God and a holy God, and He calls us to be holy as well. And I've seen the Holy Spirit give all of us strength. A bunch of weaklings. I mean, I was a weakling going over there, and we're all scared, but God just brought us together, and the Holy Spirit gave us the power to proclaim the gospel. And I saw the fruit of the prayers of everybody here. There was a day that it was so warm out. It was beautiful. And we knew that the people were praying for good weather. And this one guy I was sharing with, he goes, you know what? You guys brought this warm weather here. It was awesome. So anyway, the Lord just really worked. I don't believe I wasted my time going over there. I'd do it again, over and over again. And I really feel that God is going to use this church in many, many areas, in Russia, in Chino Hills, everywhere. So God bless you all, and thank you for your time.
Hi. While we were there in Russia, we did street outreaches every day, and in the evening held church. And in the evening, I worked in the children's ministry. And one of the lessons that I taught was the time when, gosh, I'm really nervous, excuse me. It was the time when Jesus sent the disciples out on a boat without him, and they encountered a storm. And he went up on the mountain to pray. And in the middle of this storm, when they were extremely afraid, Jesus walked out on the water to them. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, you know, say that I can come out of the boat. And the Lord said, come out. So Peter started to walk out of the boat with his eyes on Jesus, and he was walking on water as well. And as soon as he looked around at the storm and the water and the wind and everything, he started to sink. And of course, the Lord saved him. But the first 2 days for me in Russia were like that. And the reason I want to share that is because that can happen to us no matter where we go. And I took my eyes off the Lord, and I was watching what everybody else was doing, and I was really struggling. And in fact, I felt like I wanted to go home. I didn't know why I was there. And God's timing is so perfect. On the third day, I think it was, Jack Ramirez shared, and her devotion was about what happens when we take our eyes off the Lord. So that really blessed me, got me back focused, and from there on, everything changed. God blessed me radically, gave me power that I've never known before in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I was just able to really open myself up and share to people honestly. One of my biggest fears when I went over there was I have a physical disease that causes me a lot of problems. So I had gotten so focused on the physical part of myself, and in fact it causes me to have double vision, that I was more worried about this vision than my spiritual vision. And that really, like I said, got me in trouble. But the Lord took care of that for me and worked that all out. There's a couple scriptures that I wanted to share. It's 2 Timothy 2:15, and it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think it's so important for all of us to study the word so that we can present it to people, so that the Holy Spirit can bring those to remembrance and use it. Because if we don't study, we won't be able to present it to other people. That's just really important. And Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And boy, can you see that happen in Russia when you use the word of God, because it's not by you know, any of our might. It's by the power of the word of God, the living word. And just to see people changed in a moment by the word of God is just incredible. And then I had another scripture I wanted to share, which is in Hebrews also. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One thing when I was out on the street witnessing is, as soon as I got done witnessing to somebody, you know, I had this sense of urgency about me that I needed to move on to the next person and find somebody else. And, you know, I just prayed that I would come home with that same sense of urgency, because the fact of the matter is we're not going to be here for very long. And there's people living right next door to us. There's people in Russia, but there's, you know, our neighbors who don't know Christ are going to hell. And that, I mean, that's the fact. The fact is, if they don't know him, they're going to hell. And I just want to leave you with that, because I think it's really important that we feel a sense of urgency, not to slam it down somebody's throat, but just to give them the gospel and then leave it to the Holy Spirit, what he'll do. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you all for your prayers. God's been wonderful on this trip and for me. And one of the things that caught my eye when we first left the airport was a scripture that somebody had on their shirts, one of the people from Calvary Chapel Church Planting. And the scripture reference was, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." And on his shirt he had, "What part of go do you not understand?" And that really just ministered to me, and it was real neat because the Lord had provided everything for me to go. There was no way I thought that I could go, yet he brought the money forward for me to go, and I just had a wonderful time. I got to share with people. I saw people come to the Lord through me, and he used me, yet I found myself hiding behind the camera. I took tons of pictures, and I think in the same way we tend to hide in our little niches here in Chino. And my encouragement to you is get out of the niche. Take a step forward in faith. I did the same thing. I had no idea I was going to go. I just said, I'll put down my $150, and if the Lord brings the rest of the money, great, I'll go. Otherwise, well, I'll stay behind. But the second part of that is make disciples of all nations. I hope that someday I can go back and be able to share and continue to share, and hopefully that these people will grow up and become a great body and be able to make more disciples of the people that we've shared with. Thank you.
Hello. I'd just like to say that last year when a team went over to Russia, I knew in my heart that I wanted to go to Russia and tell the people about Jesus. Well, right before we left for Russia, I had some questions on my mind, like how can this country not know about Jesus? I found out as I got there that the city of St. Petersburg, there were beautiful buildings with structures of angels on the roof and structures of angels in the middle of the parks and beautiful churches like St. Isaac's Cathedral and the Winter Palace, which is now the Hermitage. Kazansky's Park, which has two 50-foot doors, and on the doors were 5-foot squares of pictures of stories of the Bible, like the Last Supper, and when Jesus was a boy, he was teaching the elders in the synagogue. I just seen all these buildings, and I just wondered where God was. There's angels everywhere, and the people are so sad because they don't know him. I could remember talking to a man and asked him if he knew that he would go to heaven when he died, and he went on saying how he depended on if he were good or bad, and he wanted to know if he knew where he can get some oil so he can put it in some icon at church so he can light the fire. So, as you see, I talked to him a little while about Jesus. Another man I talked to was about 50 years old, and I asked him if he reads the Bible, and he says he does. And I told him to pray to God, asking him for things and thanking him for things, and also he answered me. That he needed help with his prayers, and he went on saying how he has nothing to pray about. He's wearing rags and for clothes, and he lives in a dump, and the people there are so sad. While my translator was talking to him about God, I was able to give him a look up the Lord's Prayer, and I had my translator write that down in Russia for him, and she told me how, you know, he'll just pray this prayer and not know what it's about. So I told her, you know, to tell him to study it and understand why
Jesus has given that prayer for us to study. Every morning before, we would go somewhere and do an outreach for the people of Russia. Someone would read a chapter out of Hebrews, another person would give their devotion on what the Lord puts on their heart. And I will never forget one morning when I think John shared that Mark and Loretta are over there in Russia. They've been over there for a year now. And right before Loretta was asked to think about going over there and teaching about Jesus, she was going to nursing school, and she just finished her nursing school, and so she's just ready to start making money, and that's all she was thinking about, is finally being able to make good money. But so one night she had this dream, and the dream was, in one hand was a pile of money, and the other hand was Russian people, and she closed her hands and opened them back up, and the money turned to sand and went through her fingers, and the hand that had the Russian people in it turned to precious jewels. So she knew right then that the Lord was calling her to go to Russia and share. So I just wouldn't give my experience in Russia. I just treasure it, and I just thank the Lord that He provided the trip and just a great opportunity it was. Thank you.
Kaktala, that means how are you? In getting ready for this sharing time, I asked the Lord which of the jewels that He shared with me these last 2 weeks would He have me to share with you guys? And there's this one brother we met there, Nicholas. He's originally from France, and the first day that we went to make outreach, which is what we did, we went to make outreach, Nicholas comes walking off the metro with all of his possessions in tow, and the first thing he heard was the worship. And so he stopped, and he looked at me, and I talked to him, and I was amazed right off the bat that I was blessed to meet someone that spoke English. You know, so I was like, oh, this is cool. This guy speaks English. Then I find out that he's a brother in the Lord. He is with a group that we're well known here, Jews for Jesus, but they're out of France. And Nicholas's whole intent for that trip was he'd come over to St. Petersburg to help this woman, Sarah, and her little son. She's a Kazakhian woman from Kazakhstan, and she's a Muslim with a Jewish name, Sarah, and I thought that was so ironic. But Sarah's story was the story that was most interesting. She became pregnant. The father of the child decided he did not want to have any part of the marriage, and he wanted Sarah to abort. Sarah decided somehow, some way, she was not going to do this. And Nicholas shared with me and with a bunch of the group the fact that he, being a Christian, a brother, you know, someone that Jesus loved, he felt a tremendous responsibility to this woman who was unsaved, because of her stand that she took for life. So here he comes all the way from France to St. Petersburg to get this woman, Sarah, a flat that is 2 meters by 4 meters big. It's not very big. And his whole intent was to get her an education to where she could speak German, learn the language, then take her back to France and put her into the working part of the ministry where she could earn an income for herself and for the baby. And Nicholas was such a blessing. He was awesome. His attitude of a servant was epitomized. For 2 weeks, I got to walk really close with him. And his heart was so awesome. And then we got blessed even more. The night before we left, we had communion. And it was the team and the translators. And Nicholas, you know, we adopted him right away. He was just so neat. During the worship and praise, Loretta blessed us with music, and Jim Beauvais blessed us with music. And that evening, Nicholas brought his big viola.
It was a violin.
Violin. It's huge. This thing was huge. And the worship music that he played was just, I mean, I could have died right there and gone to heaven. And I would have been a happy man. But Jack's tapping me. I gotta go. Anyways. He's saying partially. That means hurry, hurry. That's one jewel. The other jewel is you have some really neat brothers and sisters. I mean, some awesome brothers and sisters in Russia. If you can never get your mind beyond the realm of your house and your own family, and just take it one step further, God will bless you. Thank you.
Pretty nervous, so bear with me.
Oh, he's got a sermon here. How many?
I'm not going to use all that.
Oh, you guys can go sit down.
You know, I wanted to share what God did for me personally and the way He ministered to me on this trip. I had a major obstacle in going on this trip. I suffer from a kind of a phobia, it's fear of flight. And I don't know if anyone here has a phobia, but it's not something you can rationalize. It's just something that happens. And I was in the service and I had to fly several times, and it wasn't a pleasant experience for me. The anxiety was so great that it caused physical pain to me. And my system was pretty messed up back then when I flew. And, you know, it was a big obstacle for me. Someone suggested to me to look up fear in the concordance and, you know, go through some scriptures. And I did that. And it was helpful, but God gave me a better word. It was trust. And I went through the concordance with that. And I found 36 verses that really ministered to me personally. And a lot of them were in Psalms. And I learned to love the Psalms on this trip. And one of my favorite ones was Psalm 36:7. It says, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." And that's where I wanted to be on this trip, was under the shadow of his wings. And I put my trust there. And I had the nervousness that I remembered as I left the house and as I was en route to the airport and even in the airport. But when I got on the plane, I felt that peace that I longed for. You know, God gave it to me. And once we got airborne, I was reading in my daily devotion in my Bible, and I ran across 2 Timothy 2:13, and it says, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful." And it ministered to me because I felt, you know, kind of faithless before I got on the plane. I was fearful, and I knew I shouldn't be. But God was faithful anyway, and He gave me the peace and the comfort that I needed. And that helped me get there. And I enjoyed the flight for the first time in my life. So I didn't suffer from the pains that I used to have. I didn't have any of the anxieties. So that was great for me. Another way that God ministered to me on this trip was I'm right close to my family, my wife and kids, and it was difficult for me to be separated from them for 2 weeks, and that might seem kind of unmanly, but, you know, I'll accept that, but, you know, but, you know, I actually feel sorry for anybody that doesn't feel that way about their family, because I think they miss out on the, you know, the intimate relationship I think God intended marriage and family to be. But God ministered to me again that the second day we were there, I was able to call out and talk to her and hear her voice, and that really helped me a lot. And we set up a schedule, times and dates that she would call me, and God blessed that, and she was able to get through every time that we planned. And that may not seem like much, you know, but from what I understand, no one else had that success in getting through. You know? I was the only one, so, you know, you could call it luck, but, you know, I know better. So, And the other thing I wanted to share was that I had a lot of high expectations about Russia when I went. I heard all the testimonies from past trips, and I kind of had the impression that every other person I talked to was going to want to accept the Lord, and it didn't happen that way. And after about a week of sharing with people, they were interested, and they wanted to hear what we had to say, but nobody wanted to make a commitment, you know, that I talked to. And I started kind of getting down on myself about it, but we had, you know, daily devotions every day, and a lot of people were sharing the same thing. And I understood that, you know, after the first week, that, you know, it wasn't my purpose to worry about who was saved and who wasn't. I was just there to share the gospel, and that was God's work, and he would worry about it. And Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And I did my part, which was to share the gospel, and God took care of the rest. And I don't know if I did any more than plant seeds to most of those people, but that's part of it, and I was glad to have a part of it. I did, however, you know, God let me experience the joy of being part of the harvest, too. Though there was a day that Gary and I were together, and we shared with a lot of people that day, and out of all the people we shared with, five of them accepted the Lord. So that was like my great day, the one day that I had, which was an awesome day for me. And I would just encourage anyone that feels like there's a lot of maybe obstacles that's keeping them back from doing something like this, to, you know, just put their trust in the Lord. And Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And I felt, you know, that it was a tough thing for me to do, to get on that plane and go, but I wanted to be obedient, and the Lord brought it to pass, and I just hope that's an encouragement to somebody. Thanks.
The Lord told me back in December that I was supposed to go to Russia, but he wouldn't tell me why. And even after I got there, all I knew was I was obedient to his call, but I didn't know why I was there. And after several days, I said, "Okay, Lord, you told me to come. I came. You told me you'd tell me what I'm supposed to do, but you're silent. Why are you being so silent to me?" And over the next few days, he began to do something amazing. He began to lead deaf people to me. And I knew enough sign language that I was able to communicate with them and to find out that some of them knew the Lord and some of them didn't. And he just began to put a real burden on my heart to reach out to the deaf people, that we were there and we had translators and we could cross that language barrier. But there were two ladies in particular that stand out, that stood at the metro and they watched everything that was happening, but they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that we were speaking about Jesus. And it was like they were there, but they could have been a million miles away because they just didn't know. And the Lord just really put on my heart to reach out to these people. And it's my desire to return back to Russia, if it's his will, to set up an outreach to them. And it's just also my desire to let you know that if he's telling you to do something, be obedient. Even if he's not telling you why, have that faith to know that he knows what he's doing. And you don't have to know all the details. He will take care of it all. Thanks.
Hello. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. There were lots of reasons for me not to go, and there was only one reason to go. I felt the tug in my heart. I brought every single reason I had not to go, and I think I probably had about every reason you could have. Well, I'm not married, so don't have a family, but I have pretty much every other reason. Fears of your life. You don't want to be inconvenienced, because we certainly have it much more comfortable here. What are the other reasons? You feel inadequate. You know, you're not really equipped to do that kind of work. Finances, every reason. And I'll tell you what, because the tug was still there, I just brought every single one of those reasons to God in prayer day after day. And little by little, he just took every one of those away, and he just made it so none of those were there. But I was really honest with him, because I had a lot of good excuses not to go if I didn't want to go, but I only had the one. The tug was still there. And it really came down to trust, like Mark said. And as I was sharing with other people, everyone else has their own individual, like, scenario about how God got them to go and all the wonderful things that God did through them there. And he just brought us all together from all kinds of different circumstances. While we were there, I mean, the best things I can share is just the things, the relationships that we had. There were a couple of guys there, teenagers. They came every single day to talk to me. They had all kinds of questions. I was tired of talking to them after a while. The translators were tired of helping me talk to these two guys. And I really didn't think I was getting through with them. They had all the typical questions that everybody has, you know, about God and trying to, you know, well, if God, then this, then what about that? Well, after a week of talking to these guys, I finally just said to them, you know, what do you have to lose? Just give God a chance. Trust him. Pray with me. And the next day I found out that at that service that night, they didn't tell me that night, but the next day they said, we accepted the Lord because basically they said, what else can we believe? What else can we believe? And then they also said, we don't think that we've lost anything. We, as a matter of fact, we think that we have gained something now. And then they were there at the outreach after that, and they were helping us invite other people come to church. And, you know, and there's other stories, too. One in particular, there was this other young kid. He came with his father, and I was sharing with him at an outreach. And we finally got to the point with this young boy where he was, like, this close to, you know, I said, will you pray with me? And his dad was standing behind him, grabbing him, like, come on, let's go. And this boy just, like, forcefully took his father. He just looked at him, pushed him out of the way. He stood there, looked at me, and you could tell he was just like, gosh, I don't know if he was struggling with what to do. And God just put tears in my eyes. I looked at him, and I just said, you know, I felt like it was God pleading through us, like Paul says, and I just said, please pray with me. And he said, okay. He prayed with me while his father was just, you should have seen the look on his father's face. He prayed with me. We cried a little bit. We hugged each other. And I can't remember if it was later that day or the next day, he brought three of his friends to the outreach. And somebody else, I think it was Mark, was sharing with his friends, and they all accepted the Lord too. And man, and that guy, I can't even remember his name, but I have his name and address right now. And we became like instant buddies and friends, and it's just, and there's other stories of people too. There's a guy, I didn't even know he was going to come. He came. I'm getting tapped, but I got to tell you, there's a guy, I didn't know this was going to happen, but he came to the church and got saved too after I shared with him. And we had just gone through security. We had just gone through security on our way home, right? And I look over, and there's this guy, and he's waving. He's on the other side of the security check. I can't go to him. He can't go to me. I had no idea he was going to show up there, come there. This guy took it upon himself to find all this out, to come there. He wanted to see us before he went to say goodbye. And he's there, and he's like, oh, he's going like this. And we couldn't see each other. It was too late. And I watched him. He watched me as we walked all the way to the end. We walked through customs. I waved to him, said goodbye, and it kind of like broke my heart because we missed each other maybe by this much. But anyway, everyone there, all they kept saying was, when are you coming back? Are you coming back? We love you. You know, all. And anyway, can't do it justice in a few minutes. But God is good. You know, he changed lives there. He changed our lives. And there's a church there now where there wasn't a church before. And that's really awesome.
Well, I forgot my sweatshirt, so I don't feel official. But I guess the word is stravutia. Close enough. It means hello. St. Petersburg is an awesome city. It's so beautiful. The buildings, the landscape, the parks and the rivers and canals. But I think the most beautiful part of the city is the people. One thing about the people, though, is they don't smile. I noticed when you're traveling on a seat, there's nothing but grim faces, and they just don't smile. And as we'd pass by, we'd smile at them, and they'd look at us like, what's wrong with you, you know? And I was visiting a friend of mine over there, and I asked him, I said, is it obvious that we're Americans? Because I thought we were dressed similar to them and everything. And he said, it's pretty obvious. And I said, what is it? It's my backpack, right? That's what gives it away. And he said, no, it's not your backpack. And I said, what is it? And she said, you smile too much. I'm like, smile? She goes, yeah. But the Russian people, they haven't had much to smile about in the last 70 years. Living under the rule of communists, they've been in darkness, I guess you would say, for 70 years. But now there's a light in St. Petersburg. And my heart is that we would continue to pray for that light, that it would grow and that it would flourish. Pray for the couples. Mark's got a lot of work ahead of him. We saw the fruit of our outreaches every day when at the evening services when we'd have our meetings. But the real fruit, in my estimation, is what will be there 6 months from now. And so pray for the people. Pray that God would cause them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and that they would come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thanks.
Hello. I'm only going to share one thing because I know Jack wants us to make it quick. When we were out at the Metro one day, we were packing up and we were ready to go, and there was a man standing near me, and he was selling walnuts, and he only had a square box about this much, and I figured, you know, gosh, that's probably what he lives on or whatever. And I had a track in my hand, and I gave it to him, and everyone on the team was like, come on, hurry up, we gotta go. And for some reason, the Lord put it on my heart to share with this man. And on the previous trip before, I went on the first trip, and I feel that I let the Lord down because I didn't share with that many people, so that was kind of on my heart. And this man was really precious and really neat. He had really neat questions, and I asked him if I could share with him, and he said yes and wanted to know what we were doing. And I shared with him about Jesus and how we are sinners and that we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins. And it was so neat because I could see that he was really interested and that he was melting down. And I said, would you like to have eternal life? And he looked at me and he said, is it possible to have eternal life? And I was like, yes, Lord, you know, got him. And he said, well, how do I do this? And I just told him, you know, you need to repent of your sins and accept Jesus into your heart as your Savior. And I asked him if he wanted to do that. And he said, okay, how do I do that? And I kept sharing with him about the blood of Christ, and he kept going like this. And we couldn't communicate. I had a translator with us, and he kept going like this. And I thought, oh, my word, you know, here these people are telling me to hurry up and leave, and I'm thinking he's cutting his wrist. And I said, no, no, sir, you don't have to shed your blood for Christ. His blood was shed for you. All you have to do is accept him. And he said, I want to accept him then. And so he did, and it was... It was the first person I led to Christ. And it was neat. And one last thing. Okay, we left and he was fine and he came that night to get a Bible. And it was neat because he automatically wanted to give to somebody else. And I remember Carl going over to him and asking him if he could buy, you know, the walnut bags that he had, and he just wanted to give and give and give, and Carl said, no, let me give you money for it, you know. And it was really neat because he was just outpouring his love that he just received. Thanks.
When George first told me that he had signed us both up to go on the trip, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, right. Where are we going to get the money? How are we going to get anything squared away? There's no way. And from the first meeting on, everything just fell into place. We both knew the Lord had called us there. And it was really exciting. And I thought, oh, wow, I was part of the worship team. Well, the day we left, I came down with laryngitis. I'd had a cold, lost my voice. I thought, oh, swell, I'm supposed to go over there. I've been learning songs in Russian, and I can't even... can't even sing. I can't hardly talk. But the neat part about that is that the first few days we were there, because I had to be quiet, I was able to observe a lot of things. And it was really neat to stand back, and as the we were doing outreach and the music was going forth and the message going forth, you would see people, they'd come out of the metro, because we were set up outside of a metro, it's like subway station. And you know, out here, if we set up on a busy corner, people would stop for about 2 seconds, just long enough to see what we were talking about, and then they'd be gone, because they got things to do and places to go and people to see, and they don't have time for this. And these people would come, and they would stop, and they would listen. And at first, you'd see skepticism on their face, you know, what's this all about? And as we sang, and as people shared their testimony and spoke of the gospel, you had those that then went, forget it, and they walked on. But you saw a lot of people's faces change, and they were intent, and they were really interested. And you would see, there were several older women that I saw, their faces would just well up with emotion. They were so excited that someone was coming to bring the gospel, and that we were proclaiming it out on the streets, and they were just really excited, and they were moved with a lot of emotion. And we could watch the different people who were witnessing to other people, and see how they had questions, and these questions were being answered. Maybe for the first time they had someone who really wanted to give them answers from the Bible, and they were excited about that. And you could see the Lord's hand move. Even the first day that we went to go make outreach, was the phrase that the translators used and we coined and picked up. We started setting up, and some officials came by and said, you can't set up here. And George went to talk to them, and he said, well, we want to at least rent the space, and he paid them some money. And they allowed us to set up in this little corner. And after we were done, they came back and said, well, we talked to the bigwig, whoever was in charge of the area, and he said, these people are doing a holy work, you can't charge the money, and they gave the money back. And they never, that place, they never hassled us again. And then other places where we were hassled, we were never kicked out. Sometimes they threatened, but it was just always covered by the Lord, and we were always able to stay and do what we needed to do. And it was so exciting to see the people come that you had seen earlier, and then they come to the service that night, and they had questions, and they wanted to talk, and they wanted to learn more, and you could see that they had a lot of questions, and that they were willing, and that their minds were open to see and to test to see if we really knew what we were talking about, if it was something that was real, and they were willing to at least test it. I'll let George talk now.
What she was referring to is that the mafia owns everything, everywhere. Mafia owned the police department there. They own a street corner. A certain mafia group owns a street corner, a certain corner there. And so when we set up, one of the mafia representatives came up and they said, you can't set up here. It caused people to worry, you know, set up here. So George Bryson, the director, said, well, how much do you want? I go, we want $100. $100! So he starts talking to the guy, and they got him down to 80. So he gives him 80. And what she's referring to is that night at our hotel, one of the mafia service guys tracked us down to our hotel room and gave the money back, because the mafia kingpin of that area, when he caught wind of it, he said, hey, they're working for God, and this is right. And here's a guy that's, you know, murder is no problem. And yet they hunted us down to give us back our $80 and said, you can use the street corner for the rest of your stay, which is an incredible thing in Russia. The mafia own everything. George.
I've been a Christian for 23 years and have never felt the power of God like I have the past 2 weeks. I've never felt that dynamite power like I have the last 2 weeks. God did so many miraculous things, and you just felt indestructible. Jack told me I would, and I didn't believe him, because I've been to Philippines and Israel and Egypt and Mexico and all over doing other things. But what God did this last 2 weeks was just so phenomenal for me, just totally feeling indestructible and watching him move. One story I'd like to share with you is a story of the school director down there, a female. The drums stopped working after a couple days, so I figured God must have something else in store for me. So one night at the outreach in the evening, they needed someone to do security downstairs, so I figured, well, I'll go down there, have time to read and just talk to the Lord. So I went down, and the school director was there, a real pretty lady, And I saw her and waved to her and talked to her a little bit, as little as you can, trying to communicate in English versus Russian. Gave her a Snicker bar and just had some real fun with her. Left the next day. When we came back the next day, I saw this man was following her around, a big guy. And I found out real quickly it was her husband checking us out. Like, why are you guys here? What are you doing? Can I trust you with my wife? I mean, you could just really sense in the Lord. I have a wife. I'd be the same way. Why are you here? What are you doing? Can I trust my wife being alone with you guys? And so I began to pray the next night to say, Lord, how can I minister to them? And the very next day, I went down and sat down, and they came up and started talking to me, both the husband and wife, and sat down with me downstairs. And it was so neat. They brought out this English translation book. And they, what do you do job? And it was like when we're trying to talk to them, I thought, well, this is great. So we're trying to communicate back and forth. And I find out he's into computers and I'm into computers. And so we had a common ground there. And I was able to share a lot of things with him. The next night, the Friday before we came back, I brought him a couple of T-shirts that my company did and some candies and coffee. Just a couple different things so he could sample and taste of America. And at first he wouldn't accept it, and through the translator then he finally accepted it. I said, I don't want to insult you, but I just want to give you a gift from my heart. And so I gave it to him, and we talked a little bit more. And I went back that night, and then the final night was Monday. We were gone for the rest of the weekend and then came back to do our final outreach that Monday. And the lady grabbed me and grabbed a translator, and they pulled me aside and said, I have gifts for you. And they gave me some gifts. And she says, you have to come back and be my guest. You have to come back and be my guest. And her big husband looked over at me and grabs the translator and starts talking real boldly. And I'm going, oh, man, I've offended this guy. He's going to rip my head off or something. I mean, I'm serious. I thought, this guy's mad, because he was real timid at first. He was just saying something. And he said, I came here as a skeptic. I was watching you guys. I thought you were all a bunch of phonies, and this was just that you were going to get something from us or do something from us. But you have showed me real love. And he says, and if everybody could love like you, there would be no war in the world. And I just said, you know, it's not me, it's Jesus. It's the love of God that you're seeing shine through me. And God loves you, and you need to get in his word and grow. And he said, I will. This is now my church. I will be here. It was just so powerful what the Lord did. I'm done.
Okay, I don't get to talk at all. No.
Somebody has to be the policeman. Isn't it terrible?
No, my name is Joni, and I felt a tug to go to Russia ever since the first trip, but I'm a school teacher, and no other trip worked out right for me, but I teach year-round, so I had this month of April off. And I always felt a tug to go and work with the children, because I work with children every day at school. I work with them at Sunday school. And I'm kind of like Jesus, let the children come to me, because I love to watch them grow in the Lord, and I love to see the excitement on their eyes, in their eyes. And we really got the chance this trip, because our first 2 days in Russia, we did assemblies at schools, the first one being the school where the church was at. And as Dave shared, people in Russia don't smile, and that goes for the kids too. I mean, you get a little bit more of a smile from the kids than you do from the adults. But when we first started working with them, you could see them hesitating and sitting back, and they would join in with what we were doing, but just kind of observing. And they really learned the concepts quickly, because they're very bright in Russia. But were they taking them in, and was it sinking in the truths of what we were sharing with them? And the last night that we were there, I mean, our group varied from 60 children to 90 children a night. And the last night we were there, as we were doing worship with them, we sang songs in Russian and English. And, of course, they're doing all the hand motions with us. And they're singing every song with us by this time. Some of them are even singing with us in English by the last night we were there. And I always do a thing with the kids if I can't hear them. I'm always like, and they were just shouting the rooftops off that last night when we were singing with them. And you could see the light in their eyes, and you could just see Jesus shining forth in their eyes and on their faces by the time we left, and they really understood what it was all about. And what's interesting is that our church has that many children, but most of their parents aren't coming. Those children are coming by themselves. And there was one night where it was a question-answer period, and we asked all of the kids whose parents were in the sanctuary to stay in the classroom, and we'd do some things with them. And we took the rest of them outside on the playground, and only 8 children were left in the classroom. Yet that sanctuary was full of adults. So really keep the parents of these children in your prayers, because just imagine the growth of our church if their parents start coming too.
Dobro jutro. That's good morning. I'd like to share a little bit out of my Bible before I talk. It's John 4, verses 35 to 38. It says, Do not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. I'd just like to say that going to Russia is a real blessing for me. This was my second trip, and in many ways it was a double blessing over the blessing I received the first trip. There were many things to tell you about. For one thing, I met some wonderful young men on my first trip that I committed to writing to, and I wrote to them faithfully, and they wrote back to me. And it was a real blessing to visit them in their homes and feel the warmth of their whole family. And they greeted me with hugs and kisses and gifts and stuffed me with a wonderful meal. And just those people really love us. And something else I'd like to share, too. Some of you may wonder why we go to Russia. You may not understand, you know, why Russia, why not here. Those people really love us, and here we're fortunate. We can hear the gospel any day. You can turn on a TV or a radio or come here and hear a gospel message every service. But many of the Russians we spoke to there are really deprived. Many of them belong to the Orthodox Church. And they feel that because they attend church, because they worship icons, or because they light candles in their church, or they meet in a wonderful, huge building, that they're saved. And many of them were shocked when we witnessed to them that they need a personal relationship with Jesus. And we tried not to knock their church at all, but we tried to differentiate between religion and relationship. And those people are really deprived when it comes to relationship. They didn't understand that until we brought it to their attention. I love those people. Please pray for them. And the Lord's really moving in a wonderful way. Another way I was really blessed was not only meeting people from other countries like Nicholas, who came for Jews for Jesus, but Matt with the Salvation Army from Sweden, who was there developing churches. A man from Palos Verdes, who was there with Campus Crusade for Christ. The Lord's really moving, and if any of you feel that the Lord isn't particularly working in your lives, I challenge you to sign up for the next Apostle Rosh trip, because the Lord will work through you and he will work in you like he worked in all of our lives. Thank you. Slava Boga.
Let's all stand. Father, we just praise you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that we may come and go, but your word is left behind forever. Father, that your foundation, God, is your word, that no matter what our ability or inability might have been, Lord, to share the gospel, the fact of the matter is the word of the truth goes into the heart of man. And Father, it will have its way. And Lord, you've promised that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which it was sent. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask the group to come up right now and close in a song.